This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, full admission, 50% of the show has admitted that they fell asleep and did not see the umpiring drama live in Los Angeles last night. But that's not going to stop Pat and I from bitching about it on the show here today.
No. Well, I haven't seen a replay of the Kirilloff pitches, but obviously they were apparently the Dodger. Even the Dodger broadcaster said those aren't strikes. But the foul ball, I saw that. What the hell?
The Dodger broadcast, and if you get a chance, I retweeted it from Awful Announcing, and you can hear, I think that's the Bramer-Morneau call, but then they sent, on the follow-up tweet, Awful Announcing posted the Dodger broadcast call. And at the end of the clip, the Dodger broadcasters said, well, I guess we'll take it, and then the other guy jumps in and says, that's impossible for hitters. The Dodger broadcast is saying, the way Phil Cuzzy is calling these balls and strikes makes it impossible for Alex Kirilloff. So,
So they were 3 inches off the plate, basically. A couple of pitches, 3 inches off the plate. So, oh, well. And then, but the foul ball now, it hit the line, but it was going right. And it was hit like 50 feet from the base when it hit the line, right? And it was going right, and it was... It looked 8 inches foul when it hit the ground. Behind him, obviously, it's a long hop. But what the hell was it, Judd? I don't know.
Can you not review that, though? That you can't.
You don't.
That's the incredible thing.
Well, why not?
Do I have review?
Why is this the one thing you can't review? I don't. I remember a play like that last year saying, huh? Why not? Why not? What would be the reason not to? It's ridiculous.
Maybe their logic is, well, with everything else that you can review at this point, it's kind of a binary: did it go inside or outside the foul pole, or did the ball beat the runner to the base? And in this case, they're saying, well, it's an imaginary line when the ball's in the air crossing the bag. Mm-hmm. I agree with you guys, by the way.
I mean,
so then slow it down and take a look at it if you need to.
How many plays are there like that a year? 20. It's not like, I mean, there's not, you know, if it's egregious, you should be able to look at it. You know, that's as bad as it gets right there from what I looked at on the replay. I didn't see it live. So, but somebody sent out some guy who's a big Dodger booster sent it out and said, this is terrible. You know, the Twins should be, how come Rocco didn't get ejected? Did he not even come out?
No, he did not. And it's odd because post game, he complained about it in his quotes. It's weird that he complained about it, but I don't think he even came out to talk to the first base umpire about it.
Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, he obviously knew that he couldn't get him to reverse it, and he probably would have gotten ejected if he came out and screamed, but why not? You know, I mean, that's kind of his deal now, right? To raise hell for his team. Here's what's interesting to me, though. You got Cuzzy at the plate, and this other guy is going to be at the plate tonight. Do you make it out of, if you come out for the pregame meeting, do you make it out? Do you make it to the first pitch? Do you make it to the first pitch?
Oh, I love that. Get lost at home plate.
I love it too. I think you have to send a message.
The lineup card. Yeah. You suck. Bang.
Yeah, yeah. Phil, both those pitches were 4 inches outside. And then, hey, dummy, that ball was fouled by 8 inches. Didn't see what they say.
So we have the, by the way, as we're speaking here, the umpire scorecard for Phil Cuzzy literally just came out as we're talking now. If you guys follow Ump Scorecards on Twitter,
great account.
So of the 68 called strikes, he missed 10 of them last night.
Really? Including both of those to Kirilloff at the end. So, yeah, okay. He missed 10 out of 68 that were called.
Well, yeah, his top 60. Two most impactful missed, they have impactful missed calls based on, like, how urgent the situation is in the game. The number one, top of the 10th, Bickford to Kirilloff. Number two, top of the 10th, Bickford to Kirilloff.
What do you do? I mean, if you're a manager, what do you do? Are you allowed to go down to their room before the game? You know, if you don't do it at home plate, can you go down and say, hey, you missed both those pitches? What are you going to do about it? You know?
That's probably not advised. I like Aaron Boone. I think the Yankees have a worse record than the Twins this year. And Aaron Boone's perpetually on the hot seat. But
yeah, right.
I kind of love what Aaron Boone, he did it again yesterday. He came out, umpire had, there was a couple mm-hmm. low, below the zone, called mm-hmm. a strike. He walks out in the middle of the Aaron Judge at bat. He gets tossed from the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out for like 5 minutes and just berates a hole through the umpire's skull, mm-hmm. gets his money's worth, and then walks out the field.
Yeah.
And Judge hits a home run on the next pitch.
Yes, yeah. He hit two and twice in three games now. He's hit two. He makes a little difference when he gets back. But, yeah, it's, you come back from the dead in that game. You were dead right off the bat when he gave up two home runs in the first inning. You come back, probably their feistiest game of the year, and then you get hosed. I don't think I last. It's kind of like Whitey. When Denkinger died this week, I remember Whitey, game 7 of the World Series. I remember Andahar and him both get run in the first inning, and Whitey comes out and says, "Ah, yeah, bleep this last night anyway, Denkinger," you know, and they threw him out of the game, you know, it's the worst call ever. And Denkinger and he gets thrown out of the first inning. I mean, I don't know what you accomplish. I was looking this kid up, and I think he's a rookie this year, but he's been one of these guys that's been filling in because I saw a big argument he was having when he was wearing a mask, you know. So he was, you know, from 2000, he was up as a fill-in, but about balls and strikes. And so he's been around for a while, but I think this is his first year, whatever his name is, Lingenfelter, or whatever the hell his name is. But anyway.
Well, it's also, I feel like I update this technological advances list every 3 years. I think the first time I started doing this was on our show like 13 years ago, Pat. So it's 2023. I don't even blame Phil Cuzzy anymore or the mm-hmm. first base ump guy. It's 2023. We now have self-driving vehicles. We have AI technology that can do anything that replace humans. We recently put a rover on an asteroid, I found out this morning. Mm-hmm. Tennis has had that Hawkeye technology for 15 years. And we're still running Phil Cuzzy out there to flip coins behind home plate and whoever this random guy is to flip a coin at first base. It's at this point, it's no longer their fault. It's Major League Baseball.
Yeah, yes, but the play at first base is like, any human should be able to call that a foul ball. You know, but what the hell was he thinking? What was he?
Yeah, you can tell from the third base angle. They had a replay from like the third base angle. You could tell it was foul from that angle.
Yes.
Just get it right though. Just go back and watch it. Takes one review to be like,
yes.
Like you can review home runs. I think it's because the call was in front of the bag. Like there's some silly, illogical thing. But if you can review a home run call, why can't you review any? Oh, hey, you know what? I screwed up. That's a foul ball. Back. You know, this is not hard.
No. Why that one? I don't know. They've done so many smart things this year with the clock and everything. And yet they still say, you can't review that one. Okay. Yeah. Why not? What's the NFL? What does the NFL have that you can't review that's silly? They have one too. Everybody's got a couple of them that aren't reviewable. Well, why not? It's unbelievable. But anyway, it's a plucky offensive performance. That's for sure. Larnick. Hey, is Larnick, now, we got excited about him early in the year, and then he ended up striking out on every breaking ball he ever saw for about 2 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if this time it sticks, maybe, and he becomes a productive member of the operation here. But he's hit really well since he came back, so we'll find out.
Yeah.
Here's what? The thing, too, Patrick. Trace Thompson, you need to throw him a strike.
Yes,
he's a strikeout machine. Like,
what are we getting cute for with Trace Thompson for?
I don't know. Just throwing fastballs.
Did I do a tirade about this yesterday? I think I did with you, but not on. You got a 10-run lead. You got Hovani Moran, who can't throw strikes, right? He's 10 runs ahead, 3-2 count. They got him trying to hit the outside corner with a breaking ball. For God's sakes, rip it up underhand over the plate and see what happens. They got this guy who's the only reason he's no good is because he doesn't throw strikes. And they got him. Oh, let's, you know, this guy can't hit sliders. Well, guess what? We don't care. We just want to strike.
Just put the ball in play. And if he gets a hit, who cares? The next guy can come up. You're up by 10 runs.
Yeah, right. They do a lot of stupid things. As a catcher, we get the Josh Call scouting report 5 hours ahead of time saying, throw this guy breaking balls. Not now.
Hey, did we let Plouf talk last night? Judd, I saw you texting about Plouf. Why didn't we have him
on the broadcast? Why didn't he talk?
We had him where Perk is now. We have found a way to banish the third guy who should be in the booth to the field. Yes. I'm just going to guess I know why. But, yeah, we barely let Plouf talk, and we occasionally allowed him. We brought him in. It was a complete waste of Plouf's time to go there.
Is Bally's treating him as if, well, he was just kind of a role player 10 years ago that not that many people have heard of? Because they should be treating him like one of the highest profile baseball media guys in the country.
He's doing what Perk is doing, but this way they don't have to pay for getting him on a flight to fly him through California. He's living in California, so they're going to use him for these six games. But they didn't let him say anything. And I'm sorry, I love Justin Morneau, but shut up. God almighty, stop your babbling about nothing. Three pitches, you're still babbling in a low tone. You can barely hear it, and you're not saying anything. Make your point and get the hell out of there. God almighty, it's just awful.
This is going to sound weird, Patrick, but you should teach Bally's classes on dead air. They need to allow, nobody ever allows, it's baseball, okay? It goes on for a while, and it lends itself, when Carlos Correa comes up and he's getting his ass booed, just allow us to hear the boos.
Yes.
I don't need you to talk
make a crack about the boo. Make a crack about the boos. But Justin, because he had Plouf there, was talking more than ever, like he was having a conversation with him. But meanwhile, there have been three pitches thrown, and Plouf still hasn't said anything. Somebody do something with this guy. Send him to school. Shut up. God almighty, he just goes on and on and on, and he never makes the point. Make a point and go away. You know
what's funny about this? All of this kind of plays into baseball just being it's everything we've been talking about from Phil Cuzzy needlessly blowing 10 balls because he refused to bring technology in to these old crusty stuffy baseball broadcasts where, all right, we're going to sit behind the desk in polo shirts and or ties and discuss the big topics of the game tonight. And then we're going to have the standard big voice play-by-play guy and the former player. And so the Minnesota Twins, if you're looking to reach a young audience, all right?
Yeah.
The Minnesota Twins have 24,000 YouTube subscribers, and it's not for lack of trying. Like, the Twins pump out content on the regular. They do series and stuff. They have 24,000 YouTube subscribers. Trevor Plouf, who, by the way, is a co-founder of John Boy Media now. He is bought in. He's a part of their daily presence.
Yeah.
John Boy Media has millions of YouTube followers. You're trying to reach a young audience. You're trying to be more entertaining. You're trying to be more innovating. And you get a guy like Trevor Plouf in your lap, Major League Baseball or the Twins. And you just, stuff him in the camera well. Dude, you should be begging Trevor Plouf to help you with your media product.
Yeah, we never brought that up either. It's just, hey, Trevor, and I tell you, I watched six innings, maybe five or six innings. And Judd, you watched a lot. How often did he speak? Three times in six innings, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
when Dick Brody.
Because he can't talk.
He's a podcaster. That's what we got. He's a podcaster now. That's what
we can't. But we can't. You can't get. I don't blame. I don't know who I blame. As far as not shutting up Morneau, so Plouffe can say something. You know, first of all, Dick has to get him into the conversation, right?
Yeah.
You know, but at some point you got to say, all right, Justin, enough. We're going to listen to Plouffe now because you're never going to make your point. We realize that you're never going to get where you're started to go here. It's not happening. You're just going to still be talking in your mumbling voice 4 batters later. So we got to go to Plouffe now and see what he thinks. Because you know who's figured it out, though, pretty good? Perky introduces himself in there, and it does okay when he's down on the field. But Plouffe is new at it. You got to get him involved. And I was saying, is he still there?
Like put him in the booth. Just put him in
right,
the booth.
That, yeah, they could do that, too.
The Mets have a 3-man booth. It's one of the most entertaining booths in baseball. Did you hear that clip where the Mets just absolutely destroyed the Nationals PR department and Major League Baseball for the 4-hour rain delay that got bumped the next day? And it winds up being, you know, who's the mustache guy from the 80s that used
Keith
to play?
Hernandez.
Keith Hernandez.
Ron Darling.
And Ron Darling. They just those guys are like 70 now, but but it's a 3-man booth. They make it work. It's entertaining. You know, I think my guess is Dick probably views Trevor as, oh yeah, he was the kid who played for the Twins 10 years ago and had like that one summer where he hit some home runs, and now he's a podcaster. This podcast thing.
Yeah,
no, he's huge now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Did they have him on a pregame show? They should have had him do 10 minutes on the pregame show as to, hey, this is what I'm doing and blah blah blah. I don't. It's, you know, God, I hate it because I hate to be that mean to Morty because he's a great guy and I like him and I say hello to him. But, God, it's terrible. It's awful. I mean, I know there's people who feel I'm a babbling idiot, too. I don't blame you. But come on. Make a point. I thought he was getting a little better. He's at his all-time worst last night. And I think it was because Plouffe was there. So he thought he was having a conversation with him. And it was brutal.
They should. I mean, it would honestly, if it was just Plouffe and Morneau talking about whatever they wanted, just like a podcast, while you watch the game in front of you,
you'd have to have Plouffe do the to remind people what happened on the field, though. Because
you wouldn't need to interrupt with every 2-0.
Well, I've always said that Smalley and somebody would be with Smalley as the surrogate play-by-play guy would be good with a Bladen or something.
Guy in the radio booth can do it perfectly. Provis does it perfectly. You just need a traffic cop.
You like listening to him on a radio, too. A radio, it's more important to have a play-by-play guy than it is in TV. So.
Agreed.
This is a whole nother street, but I would say that in terms of audience size, TV radio compared to 10 years ago, I think at some point it would be a good time.
How about bringing Ricey and Sugere back? That would be good. How about bringing me back? I'd be playing. Marty, where are you going here? I wouldn't say shut up. I'd just say, is there an end point here? Is there something? Are we going to end it here? Is there a point? Are we trying to get somewhere with this, Marty? Come on, baby. Tell me. Give me a hint.
You know? Morning's like, it takes me a while to get to my nut graph, Pat. If you could just
You know, Morning talks like I write. You know, that's right. Yeah. So maybe I should be forgiving of him then. So what the hell?
1976, the Twins did this. And then you get to modern day.
Yeah, that's the worst call at second, at first base at a foul ball since that game in 1978. Wouldn't you agree, Morty? You know, so anyway, bad loss, though, last night. It's nice to see him plucky, though. Let's see. How many runs in the last 3 games now? 11, 16, and 8?
Oh, yeah, we're back. Mm-hmm. The offense is back, baby.
Mm-hmm. To some degree, it's back. Yes, it is. Boy, that Those Dodger fans are nuts with Correa, though. I didn't realize it was that bad. God almighty, it's still but they had 50,000 last night because it was a bobblehead night.
Mookie Betts bobblehead night.
Mookie Betts bobblehead.
It's a great one. I saw it.
Diving catch. Mookie making a diving catch. God, what a gold mine that place is. And the funny thing is they showed it at in the first inning, and it was half empty. They're still getting into the parking lot there. Greatest Larry David ever when he gets the hooker to go with him. He gets the chubby hooker to go with him so he can use the
carpool lane.
The carpool lane to get to Dodger Stadium. And it's not a joke. The traffic is unbelievable when they start. But God, that place has been there. I think they played 3 years in the Coliseum, so that ballpark's been there since 62 when they you know, the location is, you know, the old Mexican ghetto, basically, there. And they built it in there and moved all these houses out. You guys ever been there?
Hell never. No.
A bunch of times. The parking lot, very confusing. Yeah. I was there was 2001. Dawn and I lost the car and walked around with
the car
for 45 minutes hitting that damn thing.
The parking lot, you got no shot because it's circle. It's a circle. So if you go out a different gate, you're completely screwed. It's terrible. You know, riding after the game, I could find my car because 2 hours after the game, there's not, although out there you get done earlier because of deadlines back then, but it's unbelievable what a franchise that has been. It's just, I mean, 3 million routinely, it's a bad year if they don't draw 3 million. It's incredible.
Yeah. All right.
And then they got the umpires on the side too. So God almighty, what else?
Ted would be going nuts, Pat. How you can't beat the Dodgers, the fans, the umpires.
Well, I hope Rocco gets thrown out at the lineup guards today. I hope he gets thrown
tweet
out.
That I hope so too.
That's a great
idea. The new feisty guardy. Guardy
would not have made it to the end of the ninth. Scotty Ulger would have been on the top step the rest of the night.
It would have been an Earl Weaver tearing me off the field. Guardy would have laid down on my first base and had to be carried out. Like my greatest moment ever when Weaves laid down between the pitcher's mound and home plate, and they had to pick him up and carry him off the field.
Yes.
That's what we need. All right. See amazing. You.
All right, there he is. That's Pat. Now, that was a good therapeutic vent session there. If you're looking for therapy, Minnesota sports fans, how about some throttle therapy? Cruise the water with luxury on a brand new Bennington pontoon from Power Lodge, the Twin Cities' newest Bennington dealer. Power Lodge, with locations in Brainerd, Onamia, Ramsey, and Miller Marine of St. Cloud, Judd.
Phil Cuzzy cannot affect you, your mood on the water in those babies because they're absolutely the perfect place for throttle therapy, which I would describe, Phil, as really Minnesota sports therapy, which we all need this time of year.
Phil Cuzzy cannot find you and derail your evening at Power Lodge or Miller Marine. PowerLodge.com and MillerMarine.com. Royce, truly unchained today.